Turn with me in your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 20. We spent some time there last week talking about the 11th hour. And the more I read and study this particular passage, the more I'm convinced that many of the writers, the commentators of the last 200 or 300 years, are exactly correct. This is a difficult passage to interpret. Now, it's not a difficult passage to read and put together in your mind. But what was Jesus saying? What was he teaching? What was he not teaching that men are trying to teach today? And I don't know that I will be able to touch upon all of those things, but this is one of those passages I couldn't get away from. And realizing that there are passages when you say there's 1, 2, 3, there's 3 points, and there's no more than 3 points in the passage, and here's how to illustrate it, and you do it. But this passage just offers so much, and you can go in so many different directions that I think it will be interesting to go down some of those directions. Not a rabbit trail. I don't mean that at all. But to glean some truths. And it's an illustration of a passage that, though you cannot drive a nail and hang your hat on, this is exactly what this passage means, it does yield so many truths that we need to observe. So that's what I want to do in the next couple of weeks, is to observe some of the things that that we see in this passage. Though we may not know what Jesus meant by the last shall be first and the first shall be last, it's amazing what the commentators come up with when they try to explain that verse. And so I'm not going to try to explain the verse, but we will touch upon it in due time. Why Stand Ye Idle was the title that we used last week. And I don't want to, Dennis asked me for a title, I don't want to say more of the same, but we are plowing some of the same ground again today. And we want to look at some principles that deal with how God pays his people. How does God pay his people? And I'm not sure that that's a good title, but it'll serve as a title for us. As we read this parable last week, and we'll read some of it this morning, who's the star? Who's the star of this parable? Well, I submit to you this morning that the star of the parable is the owner of the vineyard. It's not the men who worked 12 hours. It's not the men who worked 1 hour. But the star of the parable, the story, is the owner, the householder. He operates his business in a most unorthodox way. Whether an employee came to work at 6 in the morning, or at noon, or even at 5 in the afternoon, each received the same wage at the end of the day. He was far more concerned with man's needs and motives than he was with the amount of work that they produced. There's nothing in here that tells you how much they produced. Nothing here that tells you how efficient or inefficient their work habits might have been. The emphasis is upon that one denarii, denarius, that's singular, that one denarius that he paid each one of them. So he was concerned with man's needs and motives more than he was with the amount of work that they produced. Now, a modern business management consultant surely would have been baffled by his procedures. And yet Christ uses this man, this story, to illustrate how God deals with men. It's important to remember that this story is not an economic treatise. It's not an economic treatise. In other words, read this, go thou and do likewise. No, it's not that. Jesus was not attempting to establish principles by which the business world was to operate. No. He was illustrating God's wage and hour law. Hour meaning H-O-U-R. Last week we spent much time with the fact that there were men idle at the ninth hour, or the third hour, and the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. He was hiring throughout the day. And so let's begin our reading at verse 8 this morning as we look at this scripture. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, let's call him the foreman, the man who's really in charge of the workers. He said to his foreman, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. That's different, isn't it? And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. How do you think they felt? We're just studying here this morning. Talk to me. How do you think they felt? These men? No. Huh? They were happy. Why? They'd only worked 1 hour. They'd only worked 1 hour. Those that were hired the 11th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and quitting time is 6? Wow. What a deal. They were happy. But when the first came, here's the rub. When the first came, they supposed, notice the word supposed, that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And how did they feel? Cheated. These are the people that felt cheated. But you go back and read the beginning of the story, back in verse 2, now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. What had they agreed to? One denarius. And they were going to work a whole day. Let's say that represents 12 hours, from 6 to 6. They probably had time off for lunch and so forth. But that represented the whole day. They had struck a bargain. They may have dickered a little bit back and forth about what they were going to receive with the owner. Okay. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. Now, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Oh, woe is us, poor me, I've worked all day, and you only gave me a denarius? Huh. He answered one of them and said, friend? The word friend here in the Greek is not an intimate friend, a bosom friend. It's someone that you know, but, you know, it's sort of a waving acquaintance. It's not a personal relationship type of friend. I have a lot of friends, but I have a few friends. This guy was in that category, a lot of friends, know a lot of people, but we're not close. We're not intimate. Friend, he calls him, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? And the guy's going to have to say yes, because that's the agreement back in verse 2. Take what is yours. What was he offering him? A denarius. He had worked, theoretically, he had worked 12 hours for it, had he not? Notice what the owner says, take what is yours. Take what is yours. Why is it his? He had worked for it. He had worked for it. And the owner says, the denarius, it's yours. That was the bargain. That was the agreement. So take what's yours. And feed your family. Why did they pay them daily? Because that's how they lived. That's how they lived. They didn't live on bank accounts and checking accounts and two-week pay periods and so forth. It was day-to-day-to-day existence. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Okay. Did the owner have a right to do that? Yes, he did. He had made a bargain with those that he hired at 6 o'clock. They agreed to it. But now at the end of the day, they didn't want to abide by the agreement. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. The 5 o'clock man, we'll call him. So what does that say about the owner? What's that say about the owner?
He wasn't worried about if it was going to make somebody mad or not. That's what he wanted to do.
He was a man of his word. He gave them what he told them he would give.
Okay.
Whether it was morning or late afternoon, he was a man of his word.
Okay. See, when you don't read the whole thing, you get a little phrase left out. That's a key. Go back earlier in the chapter where we were last week. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." There was no bargaining. There was no agreement. There was no shaking hands on a deal here. You go work 1 hour, you're going to get a denarius. Nothing. He had made no financial commitment except saying, "Go work in my vineyard, and we'll settle up at quitting time." And these men went. They did not know what they were going to get. They did not know what they were going to get. The same with those at the 9th hour, or the 3rd hour, or the 6th hour, the 9th hour, the 11th hour. He had struck no agreement with them. But he did with the first ones. They agreed. Go work. Okay? Now, let's go back. Verse 15, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things?" In other words, with my own money, I can do what I want to with it. I can give it away, whatever. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now that's a difficult verse to interpret. And I don't care whether MacArthur's writing, or Swindoll is writing, or McGee is writing. It's a difficult verse to interpret. So that's the end of the story, as far as we know it at the present time. But as we step back and look, they all received the same thing, a denarius, the average day's wage. It was a soldier's wage. It was the average common laborer hired in the marketplace early in the morning. That's where they gathered. That's where the landowners or the bosses, the steward, would come to hire to work that day. And that was the standard wage to receive. And so we have this discrepancy here. And yet we have a sameness. A sameness. What's the sameness here in this parable? They got paid the same. Now, if we want to make a Christian application, what can you think of where mine's the same as yours, and yours is the same as hers, and his is the same as hers, and
salvation.
Okay. So what's it based on? But looking at the parable here, if we're going to make a comparison, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not being dogmatic, but I want you to see something here that's the same, whether it's early or late. Whether you've been a Christian 70 years and you go to heaven, or you've been a Christian 5 minutes and you go to heaven. On what basis is this? What do we see coming out of the owner here? That they all, this one thing they have in common is what they received.
Mercy.
Hmm?
Mercy.
Possibly. Okay. Your whole life, a whole life, or 5 minutes. God has made a promise that whosoever believeth in his Son should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you may have had that promise and lived with it 70 years. Or you may have had it 5 minutes. And die. So, two people. The scenario. Where are they going to spend eternity? These two people, we've...
In heaven.
The sameness that we see is eternal life. When you're talking about eternity, 70 years doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
It means something to us here, but in relation to eternity, it's hardly a blip. It's hardly the blink of an eye. Difference between 70 years and 5 minutes. Okay, so we've established that in our thinking. Let me give you some stuff for a little bit here. The problem was not injustice on the part of the landowner, but jealousy on the part of the workers. And he says to the man who confronts him, "Is your eye envious? Because I am generous." Even the ones that worked from the third hour on did not work a full day, yet they got a denarius. And the sixth hour, and they got a denarius. And the ninth hour, they got a denarius. But what really rubbed the first guys was the 11th hour. They got a full day's pay for their 1 hour. If the owner had paid on the basis of what they were perhaps expecting, when they went up to the steward to get paid, they might have expected to get 12 denarius. Denarii, 12 denarii, plural. But they got one. That's what they agreed to. So the owner calls this guy out, so to speak. Is your eye envious because I am generous? He had been generous with the last group and the next to the last and next to that and the next to that. He had been generous to a fault. As he just reminded the group, he completely lived up to their mutual agreement. And that should have been their only concern. We agreed to this. Did the owner live up to that agreement? Yes, he did. That's all they should have been concerned about. But their eye was envious. Jealousy and envy are not based on reason, but selfishness. Selfishness. The charge of unfairness was not grounded in a love for justice, but a selfish attitude that they had. They wanted to be paid more than what they had agreed to. In reality, of course, what the later in the day workers were paid had absolutely no bearing on what the all-day workers were paid. They had, as it were, an entirely separate contract with the owner. The first ones had an agreement. The rest of them, as the day went on, the owner said, "Go work in my vineyard and we'll settle up later." He made no agreement with them. I don't know what their expectation was. It's not in the parable. So we cannot attribute to them an expectation of a denarius. If they had 3/4 of a denarius, or half a denarius, or 1/4 of a denarius, maybe. That would have been the expectation. But selfishness sees what it wants to see. And all those envious men could see was that they did not receive a bonus. The bonus they expected and thought that they deserved. It was not that they did not get the wage that they earned and had agreed to, but that they could not stand seeing someone who was hired at the last minute paid the same as they were paid. So you see, here's a lesson in this parable about human nature and selfishness and greed and expectations that they should not have had. Much of our problem, many of our problems, come from having expectations not met. Not met. They had an expectation that was not promised them. They had an expectation that was not a part of their deal. They had agreed to that when he sent them into his vineyard to work. But selfishness sees what it wants to see. It's possible that the 11th hour workers were maybe less capable, maybe more needy than the all-day men, who probably were the first, probably were the best. He probably hired the best workers in that first hour. If you're a good worker, if you're on the ball, if you mean business, you're going to get there when the store opens. You're going to get there when the market opens. You're going to get there when the owner comes to look for workers. Amen. Your better people will do that. So I think he hired the best workers at 6 o'clock in the morning. And now he has a problem with them at 6 o'clock in the evening. The other men may have had a hard time finding work. And when he came, you remember when he came to hire at the 11th hour, he asked them why they were standing there idle. By the way, idle here does not mean that they were shiftless or that they were lazy. The word means that they didn't have work. They didn't have work. And they said, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said, because no one would hire us. No one would hire us. There either wasn't a need that they could meet, that they could fulfill, or they were not capable, physically or mentally or whatever, of fulfilling the needs that were there. To understand the parable's spiritual meaning, and that's what we want to do. If we get nothing else from the parable, what does it say spiritually? It's necessary to understand who and what are represented. Jesus explicitly said the parable is about the kingdom of heaven, did he not? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. So here's a comparison, like. The vineyard is therefore the kingdom itself. The landowner, God the Father. The foreman is the Son, Jesus. The laborers are believers. And the denarius is eternal life. Which all receive equally for trusting in Christ. I think that's a key point for us to get. The laborers are believers, and the denarius is eternal life. Which all receive equally for trusting in Christ. Rich man trusts in Christ, eternal life. Poor man trusts in Christ, eternal life. The 80-year-old man or woman that's been walking with the Lord for 70 years, and the person that's saved on his or her deathbed, eternal life. The workday for the believer is a lifetime of service for the Lord. And the evening, quitting time, is eternity. Now, if you will put those ideas into this parable, it begins, I think, to make a little more sense. Okay, let me say those again. The vineyard is the kingdom. Kingdom of God. The laborers are believers. The denarius is eternal life, which all receive for trusting in Jesus Christ. And the workday is the believer's lifetime of service. And the evening quitting time for all is eternity. Now, it's hard for us to look at this spiritually because we're given these truths through physical props. We're talking about a landowner. We're talking about workers. We're talking about a vineyard. We're talking about laborers working 12 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour, and all getting paid the same. So it's hard to take that which is tangible and physical and see the spiritual behind that. Because we know that salvation is not by works. And yet what we see in this parable is work, 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 and work. And the denarius is the payment for the work. And so if we get part of this mixed up with some spiritual components, we come out saying, well, he worked for that and he went to heaven. She worked so many years for the Lord and so she went to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You all understand that? You all understand that? That is so vital. Not just here, but in your Christian experience. Now, let me take a sidetrack here and we'll stop for today in a little bit. I think I'll stop right there. I want to do something, though, before we... I want to start something. I want to start something this morning that we will, Lord willing, try to finish up next week. I've read everything that MacArthur and Wiersbe and some of the old English writers have said, all interesting, but MacArthur, and you know who I'm talking about, Dr. John MacArthur, has come up with 10 principles that he applied to this passage of Scripture. And I want to give them to you. I'll give you 5 today, and come back next week, I'll give you the last 5. But it does take some time to do these. But it will help us, okay? From this parable flow many spiritual principles that are closely related to the central truth that the gift of eternal life is equal for all believers. Number one, the first one is the principle that God sovereignly initiates and accomplishes salvation. In other words, salvation is of the Lord. It is not of human works. The landowner went out looking for workers, and it was he who asked them to labor in his vineyard. And because God does the seeking and saving in his own initiative and power, we have no demands, no right on his favor or his privilege. God seeks us. God seeks us. Every person who believes has first been sought by the Father and given to the Son, John 6:39. And whether he sought us early in our lives or late, and whether we answered his call early or late, all merit and glory belong to him. Number two, the second principle is that God alone establishes the terms of salvation. God alone establishes the terms of salvation. Because the laborers came at different times, they worked a different number of hours, and we can assume that they worked with many different degrees of productivity. Again, I point out, there's nothing said here about productivity. How much, how little, how efficient they were or inefficient, nothing is said about that. Okay? The measure of God's gift of salvation is not man's merit or man's accomplishments, but God's grace. God's grace does not vary. Does not vary. Number three, God continues to call men into his kingdom. See, he kept going back into the marketplace. He was there at 6 o'clock. He went back again at 9 o'clock. He went back again at noon. He went back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He went back at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He kept going back, calling men to himself, calling men. And he will continue to call until the last hour of this age. Number four, God redeems everyone who is willing. God redeems everyone who is willing. John 6:37 and 6:39. The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out, Jesus said. All the laborers who went to the vineyard recognized that they were needy. They had no hope of work except what the landowner would give them. And they received it gladly and thankfully. Somebody was willing to have them. Somebody was willing to hire them. Somebody cared about them. They had given up dependence on their own resources, and they looked to him. Number five, this is the last one I'll give you this morning. The fifth principle is that God is compassionate to those who have no resources and acknowledge their own hopelessness. He's compassionate to those who have no resources and acknowledge their hopelessness. He reaches out to those who are in need and who know they have a need. When the men in the last group, that 11th hour group, told the landowner that they were standing idle because no one would hire them, he hired them. He hired them. I don't know how much he needed them in the last hour, but that fact, my friend, speaks of his compassion. These men have a need. They may have a family at home that's not going to eat unless they get into the field before quitting time. And when anyone comes to God knowing that he has no other prospect for life but him, the Lord will always lovingly and mercifully accept the person for his own. I know that was rather fast, and you may not have gotten written down what you want, but watch it again on live stream or get a copy, get a CD and listen would be my suggestion. And Lord willing, we'll try to come back to this passage next week and continue to explore lessons that this parable teaches us. What are we trying to do? We're trying to understand what's in this parable. And perhaps there are lessons here that aren't just on the surface. We're reading the surface. We're reading the text. But there may be some lessons underneath that, that God wants to peel back for us to see. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for a time to look into your Word and look into this parable. And we ask, Lord, that you would shine light upon this passage for us, that you would show us, Father, some of the depth of meaning in this parable. And then, Father, when the light comes on, help us to walk in the light. To walk in the light as He is the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Four 453.